Wild tune. Don't let it stray too far. Whether you're living in a luxury hotel, pent-up suite, or living in your car. Free Radio Santa Cruz, man. That's the only way to fly. Free Radio Santa Cruz. Skid Mark, Bob, and I.
That's 101 FM, freakradio.org.
Geoengineering is the artificial modification of our Earth's climate systems to mitigate global warming.
Surface waters in Northern California and many regions of our nation are testing alarmingly high in aluminum, barium, and many other dangerous contaminants.
Are we being exposed to danger?
Yes, you are being exposed to hundreds and even thousands of times higher than safe levels.
Is it the clouds from the airplanes?
Yes, our generation never had clouds that came from airplanes. Yours does. But those are not clouds. Jet trails now remain in the sky for up to an entire day, spreading out and raining reflective particles like aluminum that disrupt our planet's weather patterns.
We may also be suffering undue drought and vegetation losses, Alzheimer's, and other neurological and respiratory distress.
What can we do? Please, please.
Please, investigate for yourself. AmericanSkyWatch.com.
Now the sun is here to stay. The winter seems so far away. In the summertime, in the summertime. Sitting here with my love tonight. News is breaking from the south on the radio. On the radio, Brother Led and Sister Steel are playing out their final scene on the radio. On the radio, and when you lie beside me, soft and quiet in the night, I often listen to the rhythm of your heartbeat giving life. You are so precious to me, darling. It will always be that way. Until the final act is over. Until every man has spoken. Until every battle's done. Until the day transmission ends. Transmission ends. Waiting up for a show tonight. Coming in via satellite from America. From America. Whispers from some far off place are drifting into outer space. From America. From America. When I see a shooting star go flashing in the night, I often wonder if some other beings also see the light. And are they picking up our signals as they spin off into space? Until the final act is over, until every man has spoken, until every battle's done. Until every summer's gone, until the day transmission ends. Transmission ends. This is station, planet Earth. We're closing down. Transmission ends. Station, planet Earth is closing down. Transmission ends. transmission aids.
Welcome to Democracy Now!, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
We have a... anyway, we have a show about nuclear power. If anyone out there is recording this show, would you get in touch with me, Coral Reef, 427-3772? Thank you. And I'm going to let our guest, Tony, start with his presentation about what's been going on in the world as far as nuclear power that is threatened because of the breaches in the nuclear reactors in Japan because of the magnificent earthquake this week of 9.0. Take it away, Tony.
Yeah, well, one thing I'm missing on all of the news is how we got into this nuclear power thing in the first place. Well, I get most of my information from personal experience and from a book called We Almost Lost Detroit, which uses 99% of its content is data drafted by the Brookings Institution. Most of it, the last half of the book, is all about the Enrico Fermi plant, which was a fast breeder reactor about 20 miles from where I was brought up. I was brought up in Detroit and in Monroe County, just over the Wayne County line. About 20 miles in, we had Enrico Fermi plant, which was a fast breeder, which was supposed to make more fuel than it used. Magical. Sounds a little bit like perpetual motion, but that's exactly what they expected. And maybe we were fooling Mother Nature, and that's why it almost blew up. It was the only plant that we used a liquid metal as a coolant, not water, which made it about 1,000 times more dangerous, because liquid lithium is explosive if you open it up to air. In our lab classes, I remember in high school, we used to take out a little piece of lithium and then it would flash into flame. You know, a couple of atoms made it next to it. Anyway, the way we started with the nuclear plant is a guy named Henry Kaiser, one of the biggest steel producers in Southern California, had lots of friends in the Pentagon. He said, hey, you know, if we start, he wanted to double his steel output. He had been helping the military build a lot of missile silos and underground buildings, control buildings and whatnot all across the country. And where we stored our missiles, and then we brought them up to the surface, fueled them, and then that was supposed to make them ready for use against any foe. They were the original ICBMs, Atlases and Minutemen and you name it. I worked on the first missile base that was supposed to launch missiles from underground. Until that time, everyone in the world had to launch their missiles from above ground. In fact, most of them had to be fueled above ground, which made them sitting ducks to any airplanes in the neighborhood. So they're pretty vulnerable. It's best to have them under a 10-foot concrete cap, 177 feet deep, in a hole in the ground, and we launch right from there, and we have a nice, safe ICBM complex. But Kaiser said, well, you know, I helped you build all these nuclear missile plants, and wouldn't it be nice if we had a lot of nuclear power plants, which use just about as much steel, reinforcing steel, and other kinds of structural steel, all of which he could make and sell to the government. And he convinced a couple of his admiral friends and general friends to that he could, if we had nuclear power plants, they could use the waste to reprocess and make cheap materials for nuclear weapons. That turned out to be a total lie. That was a very inefficient way to make nuclear weapons-grade plutonium and uranium. So, but it was a good public relations They make it a lot, like a lot of other things in the nuclear industry and in the missile industry. Faith-based science really took precedence. Or political science was much more powerful than true science, real science. So he had his way, and the government decided to make nuclear power plants. And as a result, since it was actually secretly part of the fight against USSR, we were in a Cold War then, you might remember, some of you don't remember, but all kinds of safety violations were considered acceptable because in a time of war, Cold War, every citizen is a soldier and must accept increased risks in order to protect the freedoms he enjoyed. So as I said, they chose a very dangerous technology, partly because of the Cold War, and that because Kaiser wanted to sell a lot of steel, and he did. So that being the start of the idea of why we needed nuclear power. There were other things, other PR things going, like if we had nuclear power, the PR, the grand Wurlitzer statement was that we would produce power cheaper, too cheap to meter, I remember that phrase. We would all get free electrical power, and I don't know how he would make, well, he would make his money from building the actual buildings. And then after the power plants were running, nobody had to pay any more electrical bills. That's another way they sold it. And see, origin of nuclear power, yeah. He convinced the Pentagon, I got that one, and the waste could be reprocessed into bombs. Now, the dangers were so well known that no insurance company in the world would insure nuke plants. They had plenty of accidents while they were producing weapons-grade plutonium and uranium that they knew that no one had enough money to insure even one nuclear plant, let alone a whole bunch of them. And after we almost lost Detroit with the meltdown of the Enrico Fermi plant, which incidentally, if it had gone critical, would have wiped out all life between Detroit and Chicago for about a 200-foot wide belt, and the area would not be habitable for 25,000 years. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. Just get that book out of the Central Library. We almost lost Detroit. And all those facts are in there. All the mathematicians decided that we were within 1/2 second of going critical. So the guy who crashed the plant by putting the control rods down into the hot spots so that he stopped the reactions, he was able to stop it 1/2 second before all hell broke loose.
Now,
you have any questions
there? Oh, yeah. Well, I was just wondering, that accident that happened in Detroit in the 60s,
yeah, mid-60s.
How close was that to the same kind of facility as they have in Japan? And do we have
nothing like it? Actually, is about 10,000 times more dangerous because most power plants, in fact, all of them now use water as a coolant. And they were using liquid lithium,
right?
Liquid metal, and they found out when they emptied the thing out, the plant never got. There's nothing they could do with the plant. The entire plant, including the buildings, became nuclear waste. They stacked it in 50-gallon drums, and I think they're sitting there in a stack, millions of 55-gallon drums, just sitting on the same site. And it's all hot as hell, and it's kind of good that they could see if they have a problem with it, eats through the 55-gallon drum, they can see it and they can do something with it. I don't know anything about that, but there is a facility up in Walnut Creek which has all of the data on all nuclear power plants. And you're supposed to be able to go up there, according to Daniel Ellsberg. He had access to all of their files, and supposedly, especially after now that the Cold War is over, anybody should be able to walk into the facility in Walnut Creek and satisfy whatever curiosity you have about all those accidents we supposedly never had in the nuclear power industry. We had plenty of them. A lot of people died, but to this day, most people say, well, no one ever died with nuclear power. But that's also a result of not considering the entire fuel cycle. When I was with People for Nuclear Free Future, right at the time, just before Three Mile Island exploded, we had experts on staff at the Nonviolence Resource Center, which said that if we took into account all of the energy used to fuel the pickup trucks of the miners going to the to the uranium mines and all of the medical costs for all of the radon they were using. Some guys got sick and died so fast that there are Indian squaws there who had three or four husbands in a short span of years because their husbands were just going into the mines and getting lung cancer in just a very few short months or a couple of years, dying, and then they get remarried. And that's what went on down near the mines. So after you put gas in all the pickup trucks of the miners, and you put them down in a hole in the ground and pay them for dragging up all of the iron, the uranium ore, and then you take have the trucks take it over to the reprocessing plant, or the processing plant to make yellow cake, all of the above ground stuff is watched by a very expensive security apparatus, military type, CIA type, DIA type. You know, we have about seven or eight big security apparatus, and they were all taking turns watching all of the processes so nobody would get a hold of this very valuable military material. And so then they processed the yellow cake, and then they reprocessed it into high-grade fuel, took it over to Carmagee in Texas, made little pellets, filled up zirconium-clad tubes, which I understand Jimmy Carter was very instrumental in actually designing. Someone told me he had the patent on him. He was Admiral Hyman Rickover's adjutant for many years while Rickover was selling the concept of nuclear subs. So Carmagee fashioned these little pellets, about maybe an inch and a half long and three quarters of an inch in diameter, black. They put them into these zirconium tubes, and then they would give them to the nuclear industry. All the costs that went before they were processed into rods, and up to the time they were put into the nuclear power plants, that was all free, gratis, the taxpayer, you know, from the taxpayers, you and me. And so that's the only way that a nuclear power plant could possibly make any profits. So just like we did in several other areas in the banking industry, we socialize the losses, mm-hmm. and we corporatize, or we incorporate the profits so that the business people make all the profits and we take all the losses. That's why we have these wonderful, rich international corporations succeeding in corrupting our governmental process by buying senators and congressmen. Because they make it. According to the economists... Yes.
Speaking of that, I heard that Vermont governor today mentioning that he was done with having nuclear power in his state, and he even talked to President Obama 2 weeks ago, who he said if you'd like to encourage us to do it, then he was trying to, you know, impress upon him that they've had several leaks and that it wasn't in the best interest of their state to continue having nuclear power.
That's right. Well, it's instructive to have him speak out. It's a little... past the point of having to worry about it because
the legislature
passed a law
just renewed it,
renewing the license. They were against it. It passed a law saying we do not want Vermont to open up. First of all, they discovered that it was leaking tritium, H3, into the ground below the plant, and the owner, based in Louisiana, a very significant place, said, no, it's not leaking. But then finally some independent scientist said, yeah, it is leaking. And so they didn't have a leg to stand on. The law passed against the plant. That was like last year, middle of last year. But that was no guarantee that it wouldn't go up. The National Nuclear Regulatory Commission always votes in favor of the nuclear power plant, no matter how bad the evidence is against it. Every single time an old decrepit plant that has outlived its design space, you know, its design life. Every time it came up for a re-licensing, they always got their way with the NRC. It's a throwback to the old Cold War mentality. They think, it's a very military thing, they think we're still in the Cold War, even though it's been over for years. And Gorbachev has been known to say that Chernobyl had a big part in knocking off the USSR and destroying his country, because they just lost all kinds of credibility. They irradiated large parts of Europe, Norway, Sweden, killed people all across Europe, and they just lost face, and no one would take responsibility, so they ended up flaking off and dying as a country as a result of Chernobyl. Now, next tub. Intelligence and security forces took over safety determinations. I said that, but anyone opposed to uninsurable nuclear uses were considered un-American because they were disturbing or disrupting a war effort. Now, that mentality still applies in the military and in the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the NRC. And for some reason, they're just stuck on stupid. And all accidents, even fatal ones, are top secret. They are top secret. If you read We Almost Lost Detroit, you'll hear about accidents in which the workers who were trying to move some control rods into place, they didn't even find two of their bodies. Two of the three workers, they didn't find their bodies. They were pinned to the ceiling of the nuclear power plant by rods that exploded out of the core. And when they find that guy about a week after he disappeared, and all three workers were so hot that they had to take their hands, heads, and feet and give the families the bodies, only the torsos to bury, because the other parts had become nuclear waste, or just as hot as nuclear waste and very unsafe to be anywhere near, which is what's happening in Japan right now. Yesterday they dismissed 800 workers. They had all been overdosed to the point of receiving an entire year's radiation. Some of them won't make it through because they take chances that they shouldn't take. Yeah, but there's another thing. You'll never find a medical doctor in any United States nuclear power plant, because in order to keep workers on site, they have to be lied to, and they use what they call medical techs. Any doctor would be violating his oath.
Hippocratic? Hippocratic?
His Hippocratic oath, because the company would be asking him to lie to the workers and tell them that they're not in a dangerous situation or that they're not sick when they are sick. So that's another freaky fact that you're not going to hear on any American station or Japanese station. The nuclear industry has got its hooks in real deep into our local and national politics and all around the world. There are American workers working in the Japanese plants, because the Japanese plants are all over age also, 40, 41 years, and apparently the American workers know how to keep aging plants that are falling apart running a few more years. The Japanese, I guess maybe they're not even culturally adapted well enough to, to latch onto a concept of let's take something that's dangerous and keep it going. One funny anecdote about India's nuclear power plants, they were so hot that they had to build 3-foot thick concrete walls with holes in them, and they had the control panels 20 feet the other side of these thick walls, and they would manipulate the controls with long shafts of bamboo. I don't know if they still do that today, but it's likely. That's just to keep the plant going a few years longer to try to justify their investment. I don't know of a single nuclear power plant in history that ever justified its investment when you consider the entire fuel cycle and all the costs that the taxpayers had to pick up before they went into operation.
You're listening to Tony, and this is the Tangerine Dream Team show. We're talking about the nuclear problem. If he's ready to take calls, you can call in and discuss or ask any questions you want. Tony is a civil engineer in his career and very aware of the nuclear applications in his line of work.
How hot is hot? Yep. Nuclear waste is so hot.
427.
Oh, you want to put the phone number out? Go ahead.
Yeah, if you have never heard this show before, our phone number is 427-3772.
Now, nobody that I know has ever really grokked how hot nuclear waste really is. We have vats up in Hanford, Washington that are boiling at 8,000 degrees. They've melted through their steel-lined concrete casts, and they're in the underground areas, boiling slowly through the rock. And some of them say that they're 700 feet from the water supply of all the Northeast United States. That's been going on for 30 or 40 years. And first of all, you know how hot, you may not know how hot 50 or 5,000 or 8,000 degrees is, but if you take a spent nuclear rod, one that's been used up, lay it across a road, and then ride a motorcycle over it at 90 miles an hour, the motorcycle driver is a dead man. So you don't escape that radiation easily. The other anecdote I have is supposedly a true story given to me by Dr. Richards at Vandenberg Air Force Base. A friend of him told a story of when they cut up the nuclear subs, which because they didn't use adequate shielding, they didn't want that sub to be, you know, weigh more than it should in order to maneuver properly. And the entire sub would get radioactive. All the water around nuclear subs, all the guys in the subs, and the water around would get radioactive. Even the clocks, the beautiful brass clocks in the day rooms of the officers and the captain, might have cost $1,000 to build. They got so hot that they were considered nuclear waste. And up in Hanford, they were cutting these subs into manageable pieces that could be maneuvered around. And so they wanted to be able to bury some of that stuff in a hole in the ground 700 miles north of Las Vegas. So they dug this trench about 15 feet wide, 30 feet deep, with a ramp down to the bottom of it. And they had an auction. They asked the guys up at Hanford, truck drivers, how much they wanted to take that truck down in without stopping from Hanford all the way to Las Vegas area. And at maximum speeds, don't stop in any town because the cargo is so hot. And take it in, and I don't know what they had to do to stay awake, take pills and stuff. And they put a thick lead sheet between the driver's cab and the nuclear waste on the 40-foot flatbed truck. And so that happened. The truck driver who accepted the job, it's kind of a suicide mission, I guess, but they gave him lots of money. And he drove that into the trench, and the bulldozer, he jumped out of the cab and ran like hell, got out of there. And the bulldozers buried the truck. 6 months later, the driver died of cancer of the spleen. Now, I don't know if that's apocryphal or not, but I guess it's easily checked just by visiting Walnut Creek's database. So, we don't have any questions from you, I guess. I said the fuel cycle is a zero-sum game. It's impossible to justify the fuel cycle as being anything more than very expensive and not a very good investment. Did I go into the fact that there was more energy that... No, I guess I didn't tell you. There's more energy expended in the front half of the cycle before the fuel rods are given to the nuclear power plant than you'll ever get out of the rod. It's actually very easy to see. All of the costs of the mining and making yellow cake and refining into fuel and putting it into rods and all the security charges on that all that energy, the gas used by the security forces, by the miners, all of the power used to conduct mining operations, get rid of the tailings. There's open tailings, mountains of tailings that the Indian children play in that had to be stacked up like 50 or 60 foot high. That took a lot of energy. And so we actually, this talk about having to have nuclear power because it was not polluting, that part is only true if you consider the flawless operation of a nuclear power plant once you heat up the plant and start the water boiling. Helen Caldicott, the anti-nuclear activist from Australia, who single-handedly shut down nuclear testing by France in Australia, is now, or used to be up until recently, an oncologist for children in New York. And she came over to Santa Cruz a few times, and one of her favorite phrases was, using a nuclear power plant to boil steam for power, or steam turbines, is like using a chainsaw to cut butter.
And with that, I'm going to take a musical break. Okay. You're tuned in to 101.1.
Since the 67 riots, they forgot about us. It's 07, National Guard don't want it with us. It's like when Coleman Young died, sold it to Pratt. I saw crack destroy half the West Side. I was a youngin', destined for thuggin'. When I was born, my daddy was locked up for murder. Ooh. It's only right I play the block, you saw the murder. Live by tradition with the powder, saw the cheese, earn a living. Fast life, crack pipes, archer, working with the whites, making it hard for hustlers' life. Turn his backs on the blacks. You ask why we move them packs. We infatuated with diamonds, pushing them lacks. Love throwing them stacks. And it's fat, and you ain't with that. Then street lord started beefing with rock bottom. And Big Hurt turned around and left rock bottom. We. Everybody brag how real they keep it. Knowing they soft is Victoria's Secret. You boys need to listen, sit down and peep it. Saying right her and there, that ain't what we do. We straight up squall. What up though? Boy, bye, who the f*** are you? My hood don't get crunk and my hood get junk for acting like these TV cats. Then we catch you with bats like Gary Sheffield. I'm on the mound, you boys is left field. My dream was to push birds, move to Bloomfield. Hip hop chose me, you ask me what's real. You say you a killer, we asking who did you kill. My city so real, Eminem got signed, G12 got a deal. Then OB got signed, then got hit with that 9. This shit is so real and I'ma say it one time that we... I restore the feeling like when Butch ran the building or when Barry took the field. You sounding like the South and you boys ain't real. We almost lost the city. Thank God the 9 was with me. Put the city in my pocket. 12th Street to 12 Mile and popping. Taylor to Toledo. M.Po. Motown like the Temps. Lungs black like the Tents. Tell me how you rich when your money is spent. I'm from Detroit, so the 9 gon' spit. I'm from Detroit, so we gotta get rich. And I was doing this before Brick got pinched. And while you chasing that shit, we bringing the city back. And I'm keeping the street for the G's and top 10s in Detroit. Fitted hats, and I'm in it for the Skrilla. Rest in peace, J. Dilla. I'm felt. And then Wipeout got killed. Then Blade got killed. And then Proof got killed. And we...
Earth Day messages brought to you by RadiationNetwork.com, your source for radiation alert levels from the clouds of radioactive aerosols fresh from Japan's multiple nuclear reactor meltdowns, EnvironmentalVoices.org, GeoengineeringWatch.org, IndieBay.org, Carnicon.com, your source for aerosol physics on Earth Day, and EarthDay.org. You, too, can be a part of a billion acts of green for 2012.
Okay. And we're back. That's pretty good. That was for Earth Day. And we're talking to Tony here. And I wanted to mention, before he goes on, that you can donate money to support the International Medical Corps emergency relief efforts in Japan. If you go to Groupon.com, Groupon.com, it tells you all about how to do that. $5, $10, $25 to the relief fund. Tony,
That's a pretty good segue into what I wanted to mention also. We are the least prepared country in the world among the so-called advanced Western societies for not having a single-payer plan or a Medicare for All health plan, because all other countries have that, and they have an automatic response to all emergencies, like Katrina, which we couldn't handle very well because we didn't have Medicare for All. People had to negotiate for whatever health care they needed. A lot of them didn't quite live long enough to negotiate for enough help. So,
that's the agenda.
This health care that we should have would be available to everyone, including people without papers. And they do take care of people like that in every other Western country. So every other Western country takes care of their people, not corporations. We have it the other way around. We are the only country with medicine for profit, to the point of having to satisfy investment shares in healthcare operations, in which the effect is that they get paid for not taking care of people. So that's what the emphasis is on. That's one of the big.
I just read here in PrisonPlanet.com. The update is that the U.S. government's blocking Americans from obtaining potassium iodide. So if you go to PrisonPlanet.com, it will talk about the threat of radioactive particles from stricken Fukushima. How do you say that?
I call it fuck you schmuck.
Fuck you schmuck nuclear reactor complex drifting towards the United States on prevailing easterly winds. Many Americans are attempting to protect themselves by acquiring potassium iodide that protects your thyroid gland from radiation.
I just read tonight online that the United States government had bought up all available supplies.
Yeah.
And I thought that was to distribute to us, but you're telling me now that they want to hang on to it so that we don't scare people by saying we want to have it on hand in case the fallout starts happening?
The U.S. government said that they will not stockpile any further supplies of potassium iodide.
That's because they have it all, if you believe what I read online. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. When the fallout comes down in 6 or 7, 8 days, why is that going to happen? Because that is the assessment of several scientific groups. And I actually have a printout which shows a map of where the fallout plume, they call it a plume, of fallout is going to be. It's going to be offshore a couple hundred miles in 3 days. And I have the actual picture of the ocean, Pacific Ocean, between Japan and California. And in 6 days, it's supposed to be all over British Columbia, parts of Alaska, and over the northwest United States. Past Idaho, from what I could see. It's kind of a small picture, but it's easy to go online and find these pictures. I've got it right in front of me, and in 3 days they had 24,400 hits on this particular thing. So a lot of people are finding out about it.
I could look that up right now. What's that?
It's upgrade the flash. Right here, I'll just give it to you so you can see the pictures.
So
I don't know
airborne.
It's airborne.
And there's also seaborne?
Well, my theory is that since the Japan current wipes across its ring of fire where the actual quake happened, 200-mile subduction zone, it just goes right across that. I thought it was only the Japan current, but it's two or three currents going in different directions. Anyway, it travels right past the fuck you schmuck plants and goes over to the Aleutians and down on the Alaskan coast, British Columbia, and down to Northern California. That's the actual Japan current. And that's what keeps our coastlines warm under normal conditions. They're going to be a little warmer now with a little bit of nuclear waste.
Because they're using seawater, right?
Yes. They're dumping seawater, and they call it a last-ditch effort, which some American reporters said that's not really severe. But the Japanese government, by fits and starts, is trying to be as transparent as possible because they have a reputation for not being. But I heard Al Jazeera, after Amy Goodman's Democracy Now!, at about 5:30 or 6 o'clock, Al Jazeera started up their reporter on the scene, and she was asked by the main guy what she thought about the information being given out by the government. She said it was her impression. She didn't have much to say at all. She said she got the impression that the foreign news sources were more knowledgeable about what's going on at the power plants, the destroyed and damaged power plants, than the Japanese government was. So they're still doing their normal shtick of limited hangout so that people wouldn't panic. That's their excuse. But they're also under the control of nuclear power companies. What was interesting, that American who was working on other things in Tokyo said today that he was seriously considering leaving Tokyo, as many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands of other Tokyo residents are doing, to go to Osaka and Kyoto on the other side of the Big Islands, several hundred miles away. They're taking the bullet trains. Oh, he said the bullet trains are all jammed right now. And he's got to make a decision, because everyone in near Tokyo expects them to evacuate Tokyo. Now, that's pretty good expectation, and that's not being talked about. And an earthquake group says that when you're given 9.0 quakes, you can calculate what the aftershocks, the maximum size aftershocks are going to be. He says we expect 1 to 3 8-plus quakes as aftershocks, and 10 7-plus quakes, which are all going to be bigger than the Loma Prieta. And that means that he said that the buildings will not be able to withstand this series of aftershocks. So my prediction as a civil engineer was that it's very unlikely that those buildings will ever be inhabitable again, especially if we go through one or two, eight plus.
The big Sumatra one was followed a few months later by a huge one as well. I don't know if it was an aftershock, but it was not too long afterwards.
Well, if it wasn't as big as the main shock, it was an aftershock. So
yeah.
I actually predicted that they'd go from 8.9 to 9.0 because of my experience with predicting the same kind of jump in the Loma Prieta quake. I had some damage on my house, and just by assessing the damage, I decided, as all civil engineers are taught, that you don't need a Richter scale. You just have to have a description of the actual damage to decide whether you're in a 7.1 or a 7.2. And I made the decision. It's not that difficult to make. Every single point is 10 times greater damage than the previous point. So you could be a 5-year-old kid and make a good estimate of whether it's 7.1 or 7.2, because you got 10 times more damage than you have in the other case.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not nuclear science at all. It's it's actually the original Richter scale was always checked with a visual account of the damage. Mm-hmm. And I told my friends, I said, as soon as they get the story on the full damage, it'll probably go up 1/10 of the point, because they're always, in order to allay panic, they always undercut it just a little bit. It's probably not a bad idea, because you don't want to go over, and you want to be under. But they almost always on the big quakes, they actually go up 1 point, which means it's 10 times worse than they're willing to admit. That's one way to look.
They're willing to spend more money to pay the nuclear watchdogs than to allow for what can happen as a result of the nuclear problem. Any of to continue the programs instead of having
all of our nuclear watchdogs are toothless puppies in the face of all of the money and the junk science and the faith-based science that goes into the nuclear power industry. There is nobody using any science to assess what's happening.
Is that what's known as junk scientists?
I'm calling junk scientists. Anybody who supports nuclear power, in my view, is a junk scientist. And if he wants to debate me anywhere, I'll go anywhere to debate them in this area.
In the spirit of obliterati?
A junk politician like Obama, right? He supports nuclear power because he gets financial backing.
Obama actually campaigned on doing something with so-called clean nuclear power. He's obviously in their pocket, has been. And he just recently come up with $4.5 billion as seed money for a bunch of plants in the Northeast area. And they're actually starting, they must have got the money a while back, because they're actually building the foundations for the plants even before the plants were designed. So how do you build a foundation for a house without deciding what you're going to put on the foundation? I mean, they're just spending money. I think we're talking about chaos capitalism or lost capitalism. They figure out a way to make money with a stupid idea. They can get the money if they can convince Congress to come out with the money. And they spend it even though they know those plants will never get built. Even before the Japanese accident, I was telling my friends who are pro-nuclear power, those plants will never get built. We had 5 plants in Washington that went under because of cost overruns, and all of the pension funds of teachers mm-hmm. in entire Northeast were just not decimated, but halved, cut in half, and they stopped production. They had one plant built. They mothballed that, and the other four were in various stages of construction. I think three weren't even started. They just shut that all down because obviously they were going to spend 5-10 times more than the original budget, and that was not acceptable because where are they going to get the money? The pension funds didn't have enough money to spend 5-10 times more than the original
estimate. Yeah, Wall Street won't fund nuclear power. It has to be, you know, somebody getting the money from the government as usual.
Oh yes, yeah, as I said, and because they cannot be insured at all, we are the insurance company of first. I mean, the taxpayers under the Price-Anderson Act are the insurance companies of first and last resort, and all of the damage claims against Three Mile Island, which people don't realize, are still going on in the courts mm-hmm. of Pennsylvania. Hundreds of millions of dollars have been given out as damages to people who supposedly were not killed. No, they're actually proving in court that people died because of the Three Mile Island thing. And I didn't even know myself until a week ago that half of the Corps, I was so convinced by my friends arguing against me that no, there was no meltdown. But I did say I knew that fallout had hit Hershey, Pennsylvania, so that the death rate for neonatal was 4 times in 1 week. It went from a certain number to 4 times that number for a couple of years. So a lot of babies never got born live or maybe died in their first few months because of Three Mile Island. And I knew that. And my friend Richard, the weapons expert, said, oh, there couldn't have been any fallout because that would mean something melted. Well, I just found out on a BBC show, an American expert saying that the reason Three Mile Island was the number two worst accident is because half the core melted. And any plant that size has the same amount of radiation inside it as 1,000 Hiroshima bombs. I knew that at the time it was happening. And some people said that the 10-foot thick concrete, reinforced concrete containment building actually glowed in the dark. There was 9 feet of contaminated water, and something happened to make that disappear. And the only explanation is that they metered out 1,000 Hiroshima bombs of radiation into the Susquehanna River, and all the farmers around there will tell you about strange things that happened to their. There was a lot of still.
That's the kind of thing we're expecting on the West Coast from the Japan issue, right?
Well, it won't be that concentrated, but every nuclear plant is really a slow-acting nuclear bomb, and given enough time, it will do the same amount of damage as a bomb that just exploded all over the area. So. Hmm. We may not live long enough to see all of these effects that you saw at Three Mile Island because it's much more concentrated there. Yeah. We're not dumping 1,000 Hiroshima bombs on the Sacramento Delta, for instance. But eventually, we have 103 nuclear plants right now. Bottom plates, people say 104, but we don't have that. And one instructive accident that we did have was a slow-acting accident up in Humboldt. They built a small, about half-size nuclear power plant in Humboldt. I don't know, maybe because they could. Nobody needed the power up there, but they built a small plant, and they put gauges on the elementary school downwind of the Humboldt power plant. And from the day one, they were letting out enough radiation to peg out the meters. You know what pegging out the meters?
Yeah.
So they were maximizing it, and they pegged out so much they broke the meter, so the response was to take them off the building and forget about it. Well, they're pretty dumb up there, maybe, but they're not that dumb. Parents were wondering, well, you know, that we're not measuring it, what is it? You know, so they started doing their own measurement, and they found it very easy to close the plant down. It took about a year. And so it was too dangerous, it was so dangerous, because it was irradiating from day one. There were things going on that were really bad. Maybe the contractors there were just dumber than. This was 30 years ago.
Okay. Anyway, it's safe to smoke Humboldt weed now, though. But
the weed, yeah, it's okay. I think it only hit the kids along the coast. I don't think it bothered the guys up on the hill trimming bud. So I have a friend who was doing that, and he only had to work about 2 months of the year, and he was able to buy a pickup truck for cash. And take care of his mother the rest of the time. They have 15 acres overlooking the ocean.
Well, it's not getting any worse.
Anyway, I never tried that stuff. I understand it was pretty good, though. I did buy a quart of...
did it glow in the dark?
I didn't check, but I did buy a quart of oil from... They were processing oil, and all the health food stores had beautiful bottles of green oil you could buy for $15 a quart. And I used to make my waffles and stuff with them.
Hemp oil?
Green waffle. Hemp oil, yeah. And I gave it to the guys who make fuel now here on Ocean, and
And SoCal, because it was like 10, 15 years old, and everybody knows that oil gets rancid, and I couldn't take a chance on eating it anymore.
Really. Yeah, it's that good place.
So, hey, well, this has been enlightening, and I'm ready to hear that song that you started out with again.
Oh.
If we can, perhaps next week we might have a follow-up to this.
Okay. It's a freaky day in Free Radio Town. 101.1 FM is laying it down. I view my future with much alarm. Nuclear power plants have lost their charm. How long, I wonder, can this shit last? But the age of miracles has not passed, for suddenly, it seems, I got tangerine dreams and a smiling coral reef to bring relief, like sunshine shining everywhere. 100 watts of sunshine everywhere.
Hey, thanks for coming on, Tony, and stay tuned for the Free the Land show after a few announcements. This is 101.1. Oh, I interrupted you again.
No, I'm just interrupting you because I want to get this in.
Remember, Earthlings, only you can prevent nuclear power fires.
Right on.
Thank you, Smokey.
Thank you, Smokey.
You're welcome, Free.
Oh, and we have a call.
Hi, Santa Cruz. Hello. Are you there? I'll just stay on. And
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Hi, Santa Cruz. How are you? Trader Joe's has kelp on sale for 99 cents. Now, I'm not sure, you might want to call downtown Santa Cruz for that Trader Joe's, but Capitola has kelp in packages for $1. So everybody get down there and get yourself some fried, nice, tastes really good, kelp. Toasted.
Natural iodine.
So, yeah, I don't know about you guys there. If kelp is any good for, you know, any fallout, it's not good for cesium-7 or uranium, I hear. The fallout's got that in it. So if it's just radioactive, then that's okay, but I hear that England just got hit with some of the fallout from Japan. It's online right now.
Oh, and what? And could you read that?
URL?
Yeah. I think it's right here at the top of the page. Maybe down a little bit. Yeah. It was voicesforall.net who had the link, and they seem to be really jumping on that link, trying to get it out of the way. I don't like that. I like to keep it, like, right there, especially all the nuclear news. I can't find it anymore.
What did you read it on?
I read it on voicesforall.net.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's right out of England.
Let's see if I can find that.
And I believe that's a liberal radio station. I really do believe it is.
It's a radio station on right now with Voices for All.
VoicesForAll.net. Here it is. Here's the article. Radioactive fallout from Japan's nuclear disaster detected in the United Kingdom. Breaking news.
I just sent phone.
I'll give you the link in just a second. Yeah, it's All Voices. That's how it begins. All Voices.
All Voices.
And it shows the power plant blowing up like we've all seen, like Alex has talked about, throwing the black pieces up in the air and then back down again. And they are saying it is cesium-137 that plant shot into the air, along with uranium and radioactive particles.
Strontium-90.
It says it will last a half-life of 30.17 years or 3,000 years. I'm not sure if that's...
Well, each element has its own half-life.
It says a half-life of about 30.17 years and decays by beta emission to metastable nuclear isomer of barium-137.
That would be a short half-life.
About 95% of the nuclear decay leads to this isomer or isotope. Regular tests are conducted throughout the UK to test radiation levels, and the tests now show a worrying increase. The levels of radiation are regularly monitored at Britain's nuclear power station, and it is these monitors that the increased levels have been detected.
We shouldn't jump to the conclusion that it's definitely from Japan, because there are lots of plants around, including in the UK, and we could have a false reading on Japan. It could be one of their own plants that's written. So it'll take a while for them to identify by actually looking at
It says at this time the levels are not high enough to be of a real concern.
Right. Okay. Well, that would be true of any place that's downwind of any nuclear power plant, and Britain has plenty of those.
But it did say UK has detected increased cesium radiation over the United Kingdom.
All I'm saying, Drummer Dave, is that there won't be any verification that it definitely came from Japan until a little more investigation is done, but it's good to know that these things are... Because what you're saying is it would have to pass over the United States before it got to Britain. And you wouldn't believe that our own government would keep that a secret, would you?
No. Never!
Would it be that fast, too?
Yes.
Jet stream.
Sure.
I believe this government would lie,
no.
Steal the toilet paper out of your house. I do. I believe this government would not give you potassium iodide to see you die.
Now that we're getting into metabolic problems, can I tell you something about the toxicity of plutonium? It was named after the god of hell, right? Pluto. And that the reason was that it's so poisonous that 1 pound of it adequately distributed would knock off every living thing on Earth. I don't know if it's all mammalian life and all insect life, because insects and cockroaches and mice have a greater resistance to the kinds of radiation that would actually kill us.
It takes a little while to kill you, usually, right? And they're probably dead by then anyway.
Well, all I know is the mice and the cockroaches are going to have a field day on human bodies for many, many years. To keep them alive, unless we're too irradiated, then our bodies will kill them off, too. So
maybe God just gave them the soulless body. Like, they gave them, something to think about, but they don't have a soul.
More metabolic stuff is that when you ingest everybody, because of above-ground testing, which was stopped by Kennedy and Khrushchev, because of Linus Pauling coming up with an estimate that there would be 150,000 new cases of leukemia around the globe because of the above-ground testing by both the United States and Russia. And the next year, it went up by 500,000. So, they said, we better start doing our testing underground.
Oh, that's really wonderful to test underground.
And Linus Pauling got his second Nobel Peace Prize for just that reason.
Didn't France continue to test above ground?
Yes, they did that right in the South Seas next to Australia. And our friend Dr. Helen Caldicott, single-handedly, by talking about all the cancer cases, she's a child oncologist, maybe still working at age 80 in New York City, but she went all across the country talking about how she stopped the French, because she detected, just as Linus Pauling predicted, that above-ground testing was causing all kinds of kids to die. They're much more vulnerable than adults, and that's what was happening. So she actually stopped France, and all testing began to be done underground, except China. China has a big territory, and they figured, well, it could contain, just by the fact that it has a large territory. And they did some above-ground testing until everybody complained, and they got a big black eye, and they started doing their testing underground, too.
Well, they do it overground because it's just cheaper than having to build an underground bunker,
Whatever the reason, they didn't have... See, they only spend about 10% of what we do for military arms, and yet they have all the nuclear weapons they need, all the planes they need. For a long time, they did not... We kept them from going more than 3 miles off their shore. People don't realize that we were conducting acts of war against China ever since the Second World War, or at least as soon as they became communist. We had all of our warships right 3 miles off the coast, and they had to do all of their ocean shipping within 3 miles of their own shore in China. And they put up with it as a fait accompli. They knew that we could wipe them off with our nuclear weaponry. But as soon as they got nuclear weaponry, we started backing off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And started letting them. And we started, and Nixon went to China because we realized we couldn't enclose them and enslave them as we planned to do. So now they're our friends.
Well, now we're kind of enslaving them, right? We get all this cheap goods from them.
Yeah, we're trying to drown them in money. They've got $1 trillion of Western money with which they can buy anybody and anything they want, except they're having trouble buying some of our
oil companies.
Well, yeah, we're not going to let them do that until the price gets right, I guess.
Oh, I wanted to clarify, it was allvoices.com.
Right. Oh, okay.
Actually, I'm still not finished with the fact that plutonium, since it was invented by man, the body, mammalian bodies at least, do not know how to handle it. So when it enters our body, and we all, because of above-ground testing, have been calculated, every human being has about 6 atoms of plutonium somewhere in their body. It's very dangerous if it gets into your bone marrow or into your gonads. And that's where it starts causing big problems and problems for your children and your grandchildren.
What about women's ovaries?
Yeah, that too. That's the gonads I was talking about.
So it's both men and women's reproduction.
I didn't get to say that the body thinks it's iron. As
soon
as you get some plutonium in your body, the body says, oh, this is iron. I'm going to put it where we need to put iron, in the bone marrow to make red blood cells and into the gonads to make sperm and things like that. So, that's what's going on with plutonium.
And yeah, it's an alien thing, like
exactly. The
movie Alien.
It's exactly. It's alien, and it gives. If you get it in your body and it kills you, when you get, cremated, a bunch of oxygen atoms hang onto that plutonium and make it as light as a feather. It floats around in the air until it gets into the lungs of some other living thing, and the circuit goes on for 500,000 years. So it's a kind of a element that it's elementary. It keeps on giving forever.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks a lot for calling.
Oh, and thank you guys, and it's a buck at Trader Joe's. Not that it will do you any good if you contract cesium or uranium.
Oh, yeah, I just found that website. Thank you.
And so, peace. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Okay. We got song to end up the show. Please comment and call in and write in. We're at P.O. Box 7811. Send some love. This has been the Tangerine Dream Team Show.
Since the 67 riots, they forgot about us. It's 07, National Guard don't want it with us. It's like when Coleman Young died, so did the pride. I saw crack destroy half the west side. I was a youngin', destined for thugging. When I was born, my daddy was locked up for murder. It's only right I play the block and saw the murder. Live by tradition with the powder, saw the G's earn a living. Fast life, crack pipes, archer, working with the whites, making it hard for hustlers' life. Turns backs on the blacks. You ask why we move them packs. We infatuated with diamonds, pushing them lacks. Love throwing them stacks, and her ass is fat. You ain't fucking with that. Then street lord started beefing with rock bottom, and Big Hurt turned around and left rock bottom. We.
These Earth Day messages brought to you by RadiationNetwork.com, your source for radiation alert levels from the clouds of radioactive aerosols fresh from Japan's multiple nuclear reactor meltdowns, EnvironmentalVoices.org, GeoengineeringWatch.org, IndieBay.org, Carnicon.com, your source for aerosol physics on Earth Day, and EarthDay.org. You too can be a part of a billion acts of green for 2012.
Welcome to Democracy Now!, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
Tune in to Democracy Now!, Monday through Friday, 12 noon.
On Free Radio Santa Cruz, also known as Freak Radio, community-based FM radio station, which people certainly here know, operating without an FCC license since 1995.
Democracy Now!, 12 noon, Monday through Friday, on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM or freakradio.org. Also check out democracynow.org.
Stay tuned for the Free the Land show.
Or like this.
Alright, it's recording.
Yo, yo, what's up, what's up? This is Anita Johnson from Hard Knock Radio.
This is Waylon, Hard Knock Radio in the place.
And you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM. Okay, do it again. Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM.
That's right, hit him up at www.freakradio.org. Unlicensed, commercial free, and community supported radio.
Boy, no.
That's how we do.